You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
So let's get our Bibles open to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm excited for today and why. Really, our sermon title is this: Five Powerful Reasons Why We Don't Give Up. Five Powerful Reasons Why We Don't Give Up. That gets my attention. And I hope it gets your attention as well. This is one of the foremost goals of my entire life. Say, what is? To not give up. To not give up. To persevere. To endure for the things of Jesus Christ. It's everywhere in Scripture, and it needs to be everywhere upon our hearts. Today's a very important day. I'm so glad you're here again to hear this, because I think today's the concept of first principles. You're probably familiar with that concept. First principles is a way of thinking. That means breaking something down to its most basic foundational truths and then reasoning up from there. So first principles are essential for life and how we live, how we think, how we operate. And listen, this is what Paul's so good at. Paul's so good at the clarity of the priority of life. Really, it's his secret to how he's so fruitful as well. He is constantly reminding himself and others and living by first principles in Christ. And because he's so good at this, by God's grace and Spirit, this is how he endures. This is how he perseveres. This is why he doesn't give up. See, because Paul is so strong at clarity and things like first principles within the Christian faith, then he's able to remove the distraction of things that don't help him, of things that don't matter, of things that are empty, of things that are superficial, of the parts of life that are just taking him away from his true love for Christ. Paul's so good at clearing his desk, cutting out the things that are non-essential and focusing on that which is. See, so this is when his mind is renewed, and this is when what's in front of him is most important and life-changing. This is what we get to look at again today, as we seek to conclude 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I suggest this to you today as well, and I know this is kind of bold in saying this, but I believe if you take to heart the principles before you today, like if you sincerely, like one of the challenges today is you're going to see these principles of truth and you can agree even now, but it's how do you take it with you? Because you need it tomorrow, and you need it Thursday, and you need it next Sunday, and you need it next month and next year and the rest of your life. Like somehow, this is what I try to do too. You gotta think of these things again and again and every single day. That's how important they are. That's one of our prayers right now. And just like people of wisdom growing in Christ, if you focus on these principles on a day-to-day basis, you are guaranteed the power of God upon your life. You're not guaranteed easy. We always say that. You're not guaranteed it's going to be smooth all the time, but you're guaranteed God. You are guaranteed to think along the lines of God and the wisdom of God, and you will know the power of God upon your life. The principles today have been a beacon of my spiritual life. They have been that which have guided me through the darkness again and again and have called me through the confusion of life. They've been my North Star when I was so tempted to pack it in so many times. This is my prayer, again, for me. This is my prayer for you as well. So in many ways today, through the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, wisdom is calling. The phone is for you. It's wisdom. And when you pick up the phone and say hello, then wisdom is going to give you a pathway of God's blessing, of God's favor, and how your life can honor him. All right, so big day today. You ready? I hope you're ready. I didn't hear anything there, so I'm just assuming I'm... Okay, good. I'm just assuming we're awake and ready to go. You've made it through the snow. Surely you're here for a reason right now too. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, take a look. It says this, amazing text. Again, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Yes, for it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Verse 16, So this is why then we do not lose heart. And all God's people said, amen. Though our outer self is wasting away, amen. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. Amen. Yeah, that's a good spot for that. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory, awesome, beyond all comparison, incredible, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. Why? For the things that are seen are transient, temporal, superficial, are empty, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Amen, amen. So, five powerful reasons. We're going to, again, for the sake of time and stuff, we'll move through them fairly quickly. Five powerful, I didn't want to scare you saying five. You normally has 3 points or 4 points or 5 points. You're looking at your watch right now. No, we'll get through these, I think, pretty quickly. Our first reason is this. Why do I not give up? Because I know I will be raised with Christ. I know I will be raised with Christ. It's a really, really good reason. Look at verse 13 to start. Since we have the same spirit of faith, he says, according to what has been written, interesting, he starts quoting the psalmist in Psalm 116 here, I believed and so I spoke. He's like, we also believe. So we also have this faith and therefore we also will speak. So in this verse, what's happening in this verse, verse 13? Despite Paul's sufferings, right? We all know he's been through so much, right? Unbelievable affliction. He's still filled with faith. In fact, what Paul does, he quotes here Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verse 10. In Psalm 116, the psalmist also is in the midst of suffering, like real hard suffering. His life is being threatened. That's the life of the psalmist. Death for the psalmist seems very imminent. But as death grows closer, the faith of the psalmist grows stronger. If you look at Psalm 116, the psalmist speaks of God's preservation. He speaks of God's grace. He speaks of God's deliverance from death. And this is where the psalmist says, I believed, and therefore I spoke. I believed, so I did not stop. I believed, therefore I took action. So notice this, faith and belief leads to, again, action. That's what faith does. Real faith, again, bears fruit. Real faith speaks. Real faith, again, looks like action through our lives. Real faith doesn't sit still and be dormant. Real faith is dynamic. So this now sheds light on why Paul quotes this verse. Paul is identifying with the suffering of the psalmist, and he's identifying with the faith of the psalmist as well. So what happens right now in verse 13, Paul finds himself in a long line of saints, listen, who persevered, why? Because they believed. And that is massive for a Christian life of endurance and perseverance. We endure and we persevere because we believe. But now here's a good question though, but believe in what, Robbie? Great, verse 14, look, verse 14. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with him into his presence. So loved ones, pay attention right here, okay? First principles, so massively important. How is Paul able to endure such suffering, affliction, and trial? How did he do it? Here's how. He knows his guaranteed future. Paul knows that as sure as the resurrection of Jesus himself, that Paul will also be raised with the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Paul understands this. He's participating in a competition or a game where the outcome is 100% certain and it's 100% in his favor. That changes how you participate in that competition. When you are in the midst of that game and you are competing and you are 100% certain that you win in the end, that changes how you do that. It's like when you watch a recorded sporting event of one of your favorite teams and you know they win. As you're watching, it doesn't matter how bad it gets in the middle, you know the outcome, so you're watching like this. Oh yeah, this is good, right? Like you're so not stressed because you know the outcome is certain. How much more should believers in Jesus Christ when we are guaranteed the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will not give up in Jesus Christ, and we will persevere for Jesus Christ because we know the victory is certain. Okay, listen, this is Paul's secret. This is what he knows. This is what he says right here within this text. Just think. I love what it says there too. Raise the Lord Jesus, will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Paul is obsessed with glory and the reality of the resurrected body and the reality of no more sin and no more sorrow, and everything that groans will be made perfect in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a good thing to think on, loved ones. It is a good thing to think on the coming glory and presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when Paul is low on encouragement fuel, this truth is his gas station, and it works really, really well. To think that one day soon, we will be brought as believers, if we're believers in Jesus Christ, one day soon we'll be brought into the presence of Jesus Christ. I want you to just think about that. It's coming soon. One day you will be brought into the very presence. I try to imagine this often. One day soon, loved ones, us, I'll just speak for me. I'm going to see Jesus. I try to imagine that moment where, Janice, that was so wonderful today. That was so wonderful. Yeah, we're just so thankful. All those who were baptized, it was so wonderful, so wonderful. My heart was so, so blessed by that. I'm so thankful. One day soon, my eyes are going to lock with the eyes of Jesus Christ. I try to imagine that moment. Like, I'm going to see, he's going to look into my eyes, and he's going to pierce me with love, like a love that I never thought possible. I'm going to embrace him. I'm going to hug him. Like, that's going to happen. That is not like, oh, I wonder what. No, it's going to happen for everyone who belongs and loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Like, it melts me to think about that, because it's going to happen. It doesn't matter what happens on this earth. Anyone clap for that? I would probably clap for that as well. So that's good. It doesn't matter what trials we face, what suffering, what difficulties, what hardship. It's going to happen. Paul knows this. This is what allows him to keep going. This is why he does not give up, because in the end, Jesus Christ will be worth it, right? So this is where we gaze so we don't give up and we persevere, right? As opposed to so many. Here's a quote by Ken Hughes on the screen, just by way of perspective. He says, for most Christians, the contemplation of retirement trumps the contemplation of their ultimate destiny. For most, eschatology is defined by a single word, retirement. Isn't that so true? For most people, even believers, their eschatology is the last 10 to 20 years of their lives where they can sit around and just whatever, enjoy self. That's a ridiculous theology. Far more energy and thought is given to enhancing health and wealth of the final 20 years of earthly existence than to eternal existence. Hughes says this, clearly we are called to focus on future resurrection exaltation if we have any desire to live as we ought. If we have any desire to live as we ought, we do not focus on here now. We focus on what will be, which makes us more effective in the present right now. Why do we not give up? I know I will be raised with Christ. Number two, why do I not give up? Well, so that more lives will be changed for his glory. More lives will be changed for the glory of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 15 now. It says, for it is all for your sake, that so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. What a beautiful verse this is too. Paul says here, listen, he's like, I'm willing to suffer and I'm willing to endure so that more people will receive the grace of God. He's like, it's worth it. In 2 Timothy 2:10, Paul says this, listen, he says, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. You see what he says there? It's all worth it. If more people know Christ, if more people are saved from hell, if more people know the grace of Jesus Christ for eternal life in him, I will endure everything for that. That's how much he loves the Lord and loves the lost. I'm willing to sacrifice my life if others will be saved again for all of eternity. Notice Paul's motivation. I keep going because God's grace extends to more and more people through my life and ministry. And why too? Because every life that is saved, church, every life that is saved is a life now that gives thanks and glory to God. Like every baptism we heard, every single one was, before Christ, I was dead. But now in Christ, I'm alive. Now I'm giving thanks and my life is giving glory to God. And we're all like, wow, that's awesome. That's awesome, because that's what happens when God saves lives. So we are to be used to speak the message of Christ, to share the gospel, that more and more people will know Christ, and then God would get more glory as well. This is why we live life on mission. This is why right here, we are life on mission to share the message of Christ so people are saved and their lives then give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see here too, this is profound to me and very important. One of Paul's main strategies of not giving up and not losing heart is pouring himself out for others. Do you see that? This is how, one of the main ways he doesn't give up, because his life is not about himself. It's interesting, in our world, the entire mindset is love yourself, feed yourself, rely on self, pamper yourself. Just think about, you know, you being number one. But when you focus on self, that leads to misery and apathy. But notice here, when we seek first the kingdom, and specifically, we pour ourselves out for the blessing of others, what do we receive in return? The strength of God and the joy of God and the perseverance of God. Powerful, powerful truth. So you want to persevere, then you want to pour yourself into others with love and grace. Yesterday, I spoke at a young adults conference in Cambridge. It was by the Gospel Coalition. It was a real joy to be there and a real privilege to be there. And my text was Philippians chapter 1. And this is when Paul is wrestling with, if I die, I depart and I be with Christ. And that's far better. But if I live, I live here for the fruitful labor among you. Like, I just love Paul. Like, Paul, he's such a blessing to me. Because he's having a conversation everyone can listen to. He's like, should I die? Should I live? Should I die? Should I live? And he's like, well, I want to die because I'm with Christ. I'm like, yeah, that's absolutely. But if I live, then I preach the gospel. And he says, for the progress and joy of you all. That's a very healthy thought for me, right? So we exist, we remain, he says, that others might be transformed in Jesus Christ. So hear me again. If you want to persevere and endure for Jesus Christ, do not live for yourself. Live for others. And that's a word for a lot of us right now, because it is better to give than to receive. And so we make it our mission to not be about ourselves, and we will find ourselves supernaturally encouraged and strengthened by the Lord Jesus Christ as he works in those who are about his kingdom. Very powerful strategy to not give up. So the strategy to endure is not sit by yourself and moan and self-pity and mope. No, it is to engage and to give to the kingdom. Reason number three why I don't give up. I am supernaturally being renewed daily. Oh, yes. Verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Why? Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Well, this is one of my all-time favorite verses. Maybe some of you agree with that as well. So this just in. Ready? This just in. We're aging. We're aging. The outer self that Paul's referring to here is the physical body. Notice he says, it is wasting away. Thanks, Paul. Thanks for reminding us. Yes. This is especially true for Paul, though, right? In all the violent affliction that he was enduring. Like, his body was physically and literally being beaten down. But all of our physical bodies, we know, are wasting away. Yes, our world obsesses with trying to prevent aging, but it cannot. It's a ridiculous pursuit of that. But in the end, listen, in the end, we know this. Every single body is slowly but surely breaking down until death. We all know that. Literally, what this is wasting away, it means we are slowly but surely decaying. I hate to be so blunt, but that's what's happening. We are all decaying. I used to be able to bend down without grunting. You know, like when I started this church, I was just a different physical person. Like it's, I used to be able to run without pulling a hamstring. Check that. I used to be able to run, right? young people right now, I just encourage you, just try to stay humble because your turn's coming, okay? Like, it is coming. Like, I was where you were once too, and I'm not anymore. And, you know, things are just going to get worse from here. But there's so much hope, right? Here's the extraordinary power. Though the outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. The inner self is the heart of the person in Jesus Christ. The believer in Jesus Christ has been born again, right? We have received new spiritual life. We are new creations, testified today through baptism. And this inner self, that is what is made new in Christ. This is the part of us that will never, ever die and one day be joined again to our new glorified, resurrected bodies as well. But until that time, listen, we are being made newer day by day. I've always loved this verse, and I've always loved to point out the only aspect of all of creation that is aging but actually becoming newer is the believer in Jesus Christ. Think about that. That's awesome theology, okay? Everything else is aging and dying. Every part of creation, all the vegetation, all the animals, whatever it is, right? And unbelievers, they are aging to death. They are not becoming newer. The only aspect in all of creation that is growing older but newer every single day is the genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a very, very encouraging truth. Overall, or outwardly, wasting away. Inwardly, getting closer to glory each day. And I love too, it says, and day by day. See that? So what does that say to us? That every single day, the comfort and grace of God meets us. Like so whether you feel like it or not, when you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, every single day your soul, your inner self is advancing. It is advancing towards the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful, powerful truth. Some days you don't feel that way at all. I know, I get it. But the reality is, it is happening. And when we see this and focus on this, then it gets us very, very excited. And this is why we don't lose heart, because we are supernaturally being renewed. Listen, if you want to lose heart, if you want to be depressed, then obsess over your external body. Okay? If you want to be depressed and you want to be miserable, then obsess over your physical body. If you want to persevere and you want to not lose heart, right? I'm not saying don't take care of yourself. I believe in that. I believe in that, you know, just to a degree. But if you want to have joy, if you want to be renewed, if you want to see God strengthen your life, then you focus on the fact that your inner self is being renewed day by day. Reason number four, we don't give up. My trials are preparing me for glory. My trials are preparing me for glory. Look at verse 17. It just keeps going. It's just amazing. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Paul says here, for this light momentary affliction. Again, this is where, like, first principles, I love Paul so much. Why? He sees so clearly. He's like, this light momentary affliction. Now, I would not call Paul's afflictions that we have learned about as light and momentary. But apparently, he would. Again, I want to remind you, in 2 Corinthians 1, he says these afflictions were so severe that he despaired of life itself. So I don't know about you, but that does not sound light and momentary. But again, look at what Paul does in verse 17, okay? His wisdom and strategy, right, is to not give up due to his afflictions, his severe afflictions. He's like, I will not give up in light of my afflictions, and we call them severe. How does he do that? How does he not give up, even though he is being stoned at times? He is receiving the 40 lashes minus one. That does not sound light and momentary. How does he do that when he is going through, again, forms of hunger and shipwrecks and sleepless nights and massive false accusation and so on and so forth? Just unbelievable. How does he do it? Here's how. Perspective. I'm addicted to biblical perspective. It is so massively encouraging. What do you mean? Right in verse 7, in one verse, watch. In one verse, watch. Momentary versus eternal. The lightness of current trials versus the weight of glory that is coming. And then the affliction he experiences versus, again, the reality of the glory that is promised to him. This is Paul's power in his life. Momentary light affliction versus the reality of glory, which is carries the weight of that lasts for all of eternity. So that's all in just verse 17, by the way. You can just draw those parallels right there. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us for an eternal weight of glory that is beyond all comparison. Is that verse underlined in your Bible? You should do that. In fact, you should line on every verse in this passage today. They should all be there. Circle and highlight and asterisk and exclamation marks. I like exclamation marks. Have you figured that out yet? I love exclamation marks. And they deserve a bunch right here, again, within this text. So don't miss this, okay? Verse 17. This affliction, he says, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. Learn, loved ones, learn. Ready? Affliction, suffering, hardship, trials are one of God's main tools of preparing us and shaping us for glory. So you can say it this way, no affliction, no preparation. No trial, no shaping. No suffering, no substance. This is the design of God. Doesn't that make you look at trials and hardship and suffering different than you would without it? Like when we desperately just want ease and comfort and luxury and whatever it is and just the smooth roads that have no troubles. Doesn't it make you change your mind about that? And all of a sudden you see that God's design, which is all over Scripture, is that he uses suffering to shape us, to prepare us for the glory that is to come. Isn't that amazing? You know, in some way, and this is definitely true, in some way, there will be a direct correlation between the suffering endured for Christ here on earth and the glory that will be revealed. In some way, there's going to be a direct correlation. So, again, I want to be careful on one level, but I got to speak the truth too. Like, so believers that have no risk for Christ, no sacrifice for Christ, just playing it easy, lukewarm, mediocre, laissez-faire living, in some way they are giving up a sense of the preparation for glory that is to come. I don't think you'll be disappointed in the end, but in some way there's going to be a difference of some, again, it's hard to understand exactly what that's going to look, but we're being taught right here that the one correlates again with the other. And the wording here in the Greek where it says eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, you see that beyond all comparison there? It's a tremendously strong statement in the Greek, meaning you cannot overstate the glory that is coming. You cannot overstate it. So I want you to do a little exercise right now. I want you to try to imagine the glory that will be revealed to you with Christ. Just take a moment. Just try to imagine. He says, in preparing us for the weight of glory beyond all comparison. What does that look like? Just maybe close your eyes. Do whatever you want. Just what does that look like? What does the glory beyond all comparison look like? So whatever you're imagining right now, you're not even close, okay? Like, good try, okay? It is infinitely beyond whatever you can imagine in the good. And this is what is coming to all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. So listen, trials are hard. Trials are heavy. Mine too. There's suffering, there's pain, there's heartache, and there's oppression. But here's the truth. Compared to the glory to come, the afflictions of this world is like comparing a cup of water to the Pacific Ocean. And probably even greater than that. It's not even worth comparing in the end. He is going to be worth it. Okay, now when do we get to this place? Perspective. Perspective is when we get there. Every day, loved ones, we need a cup of perspective. This is your cup today. You're getting it from 2 Corinthians 4, okay? I got a cup earlier this morning in Matthew 25. I was reading through Matthew 25 in my own Bible readings. In Matthew 25, that's the parable of speaking of when the bridegroom is coming, and there you have the bridesmaids, and then they're getting ready, and watch therefore, for Christ is coming back an hour you do not expect. It's a perspective, he's coming, get ready, he's coming, right? So every day we need a cup of perspective. A lot of us right now, every day we drive through Tim Hortons drive-thru, get a cup of coffee. Some of us prefer Starbucks. We go there, get a cup of coffee, one or another. That's fine, okay? But more than that, you need a cup of perspective, okay? Every single day you live, you need a cup of perspective to remind you again of what matters most, and this will cause you to not lose heart. Reason number five, our last one, my vision is eternal. My vision is eternal. This is why we do not give up. Look at verse 18. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. This meant so much. This verse meant so much to me when I was first saved, and I found out it was there because, you know, for my whole life, I thought it was all about what was seen, right? It was all about the world and all about, again, possessions and all about status and all about whatever. And all of a sudden, you find Christ, and you're like, wait, that doesn't matter? It's like, yes, that's awesome. What freedom, what joy, what passion, what beauty. The things of this world don't matter, don't last. And it's the things we cannot see in Jesus Christ, what we know are true and exist. Those are the things that matter. Such a massive, massive moment of perspective and freedom. This is why we don't give up. We look at that which we and ultimately cannot see, at least yet. So what Paul could do, right, he's saying, he could spend all his time looking at darkness and trials and evil and distractions, but all those are transient. All those are temporal. It is the fool who spends all her life gazing on that which will not last. But the wise and the mature, they set their eyes on that which will last forever. One of the things I want to leave you with here today, notice this. I want us to see is what we look to is what we become. What we look to is what we become. And listen, listen. And that will decide whether or not we endure. See how strongly, if we look to the world, man, it's really unlikely we're going to persevere. We look to Christ, we're guaranteed to persevere. What we look to, what we gaze on, what we pay attention to is what captures our heart, okay? So this is why in our day, scrolling, for the most part, is so devastating. Because we are looking to, just one example among thousands, but we're looking at things that are absolutely, for the most part, entirely transient, temporal, superficial, shallow, and meaningless. And so we look to that, we are addicted to a thing like a device, and we start to become the things that we are looking at. And the more we're looking at that, the more we're not looking at Christ. We don't look at Christ, and we have no chance of becoming like Christ. So this is where, again, the wisdom right now, the wisdom, and it's amazing, the people who look at such things are people who look and obsess over possessions that are so paltry, right? This is why they are miserable, and this is why they fail, because they are gazing upon that which is empty and useless in the end. Again, just a moment of just clarity. Church, like, let's not be surprised when our gaze is not on Christ and we're so weak in faith. Let's not be surprised when we spend the majority of our time looking at things like social media or the world or worldliness or entertaining ourselves to death and we have no hunger for Jesus Christ. How could we have hunger for Jesus Christ when we never actually feed on Jesus Christ, right? This is what Paul's saying right here. The wise and those who don't give up will look to Jesus. You look to Jesus, you look to glory. You look to glory, you look to heaven. We look for the return of Christ. It's amazing, eh? So again, in the context of this, comfort, the pursuit of our personal comfort, is a fog that limits our vision in life. We cannot see clearly. Suffering is used by God to bring a wind that clears the fog away. And all of a sudden now, in suffering and hardship, now I see what I'm supposed to see. We want comfort, fogs our lives. Suffering is the Holy Spirit blowing a big wind through our lives. All of a sudden now, we can see who we are meant to be and who we are to pursue in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Paul's getting at. And ironically and amazingly, it's things like suffering that allow us to see and then live and then experience the grace and the joy and the glory of the Lord. So this is life-changing. And just to recap, just as we finish here right now too, this is our, I want to see this, okay? Five powerful reasons we don't give up. Loved ones, somehow, some way, you have to be mindful of this. I would suggest to you on a daily basis. I think about these things, probably several times a day. It just becomes part of me. Always contrasting, always repenting, always thinking, always whatever. Somehow, some way, you have to get this in your life. And if you do, you will know God's power. If you do, you will not give up. If you do, God will use you. If you do, you will be blessed. A lot of you are taking pictures. I would too. Write it down there and write it down on your heart. You don't graduate from this today. You start again tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And then one day soon, we will be in the presence of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, eh? And it'll all be worth it one day. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for right now. Thank you. Thank you for your word. I just love your word. I love you. I love your word. I love your truth. I love your Holy Spirit. I love how you care for us. I love how you do not leave us on our own. I love how you guide us. I love how you want us to persevere, and you will cause us to by your Spirit. I love, 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 love. And I pray that your church will love you in this way as well too. I pray for men and women and children here that will be robust and strong for Jesus Christ now and in the decades to come. Lord, make us men and women of wisdom. Wisdom. You are giving us your wisdom, your truth, all because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray we would not waste this. No, Lord. Again, encourage us greatly now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.